Who gives this woman to this man? We welcome you to our worship service this afternoon. We pray God's blessings, not only upon our gathering, but especially upon Connor and Mariah. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Please be seated. Portion of our wedding ceremony is in our hymnal, page 275. We encourage you to follow along as you please. Page 275. Okay. Dearly beloved, we are gathered here in the sight of God and before His church to witness the union of this man and this woman in holy matrimony. This is an honorable estate instituted and blessed by God in paradise before humanity's fall into sin. In marriage, we see a picture of the communion between Christ and His bride, the church. Our Lord blessed and honored marriage with His presence and first miracle at Cana in Galilee. This estate is also commended to us by the Apostle Paul as good and honorable. Therefore, Marriage is not to be entered into inadvisedly or lightly, but reverently, deliberately, and in accordance with the purposes for which it was instituted by God. The union of husband and wife in heart, body, mind, and soul is intended by God for the mutual companionship, help, and support that each person ought to receive from the other, both in prosperity, good times, and adversity, bad times. Marriage was also ordained so that man and woman may find delight in one another. You can smile. Yeah, there we go. All right. Therefore, all persons who marry shall take a spouse in holiness and honor, not in the passion of lust. For God has not called us to impurity, but in holiness. God also established marriage for the procreation of children, who are to be brought up in the fear and instruction of the Lord, so that they may offer Him their praise. For these reasons, God has instituted and established the holy estate that Connor and Mariah wish to enter. They desire our prayers as they begin their marriage in the Lord's name and with His blessing. It is right, therefore, that we should hear what the Lord has to say with regard to this institution of marriage, this joyous event that brings us here today. We begin at the beginning, Genesis chapter 2. In Genesis 1 and 2, we have God with His powerful, mighty Word bringing things that do not exist into creation. He speaks the Word, and things are. It's not magic. It's the power of God's Word. Let there be a rock. Let there be a mountain. Let there be a fish. God says it, and it is. God takes some of His creation, the dirt, and He shapes this dirt into the shape of a human being. He breathes into the dirt. The dirt comes alive. The first man, Adam, literally, man from the earth. But creation is not done yet. Genesis 2. The Lord God formed the man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living creature. Then the Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him." So out of the ground the Lord formed every beast of the field and every bird of the heavens, brought them to the man to see what he would call them, and whatever the man called every living creature, that was its name. The man gave names to all the livestock, to all the birds of the heavens, to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper fit for him. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man. And while he slept, he took one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. Then the man said, "This at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our second reading, our epistle reading, also the basis for our message in a little while, is from Ephesians chapter 5. Be imitators of God as dearly loved children, and walk in love, as Christ loved us, and gave Himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Submit to one another, out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, His body, and is Himself its Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, as Christ loved the church and gave Himself up for her, that He might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the Word, so that He might present the church to Himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes it and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I'm saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our third scripture reading, Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 19th chapter. And Jesus' day, just like our own day, there was a lot of confusion with regard to marriage. Who should get married? How long should it last? So some people who were against Jesus decided that they would try to ask him a trick question, a politically charged question with regard to marriage. But Jesus can't be tricked or fooled by our silly games. This is Jesus' response. Jesus answered to the Pharisees, "Have you not read that he who created them from the beginning made them male and female, and said, 'Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh.' So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man rip asunder." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
members of Good Shepherd congregation, family and friends that have gathered here on this unbelievably hot and muggy day to celebrate with these two young people who are standing before the altar of God, ready to pledge their love, their commitment, their fidelity to each other, and especially to you, Connor and Mariah. Grace and peace, love and mercy from God our Father, through Jesus Christ, our risen Savior and Lord. Amen. You know, it was just a little over 38 years ago when my wife and I stood before the altar of God about 100 miles north of here. And on the day of our wedding, my wife gave me a card with a newspaper clipping in it. Okay? Now, I don't know if you've seen this. I don't even know if they still have it anymore in the newspapers. It was a little cartoon. A little cartoon titled Love Is. And they have these two little cartoon characters that are doing all kinds of things together. You know, love is staying awake when you're really, really tired just for her. Love is going fishing with him when you'd really rather be doing something else. Something like that. You get it? Okay. Well, this is the one that she gave me on our wedding day. Love is. Love is. Two people sharing one heart. Two people sharing one heart. To become one. Unless you were sleeping or hard of hearing, you couldn't miss that in our three readings. That phrase was repeated in the Genesis reading, in the Ephesians reading, in the Matthew reading. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two become one flesh. That's what's going on here today. This is God's mathematics for marriage. To become one. To become one. At creation, God took Adam, took a chunk out of Adam, created Eve out of one. He made two. What happens when people get married? Two become one. This is God's gift. This is God's gift to you today. But He's got another gift for you as well. And it comes from a very, very seemingly strange place in His Word. We've had the opportunity to spend a lot of time together over the last 6 or 8 months in our premarital work. We have had a hard time working schedules around sometimes. Sometimes after a 10 or a 12 or a 14 hour day, sometimes my wit and wisdom wasn't enough to keep Connor awake. But he was a trooper. He really was. We had a lot of time to talk about God's Word, to talk about God's plan for you, your families, and the family that you are establishing right here today. It was good. And when you meet like that in church, you have people walking up and down the hallway, and every once in a while, somebody will stick their head in and make some smart aleck comment. It's not too late to run. Or, you know, my advice to you is marriage is like a bath. After a while, it's not so hot. Yeah, people try to be really clever. But this is serious stuff. And one of our elders, when he walked by, and I don't know if you remember this night or not, he stuck his head in, and he said, my prayer for you is an Ephesians 5 marriage. And he turned and walked away. An Ephesians 5 marriage. This is not only that individual's prayer for you. This is God's prayer for you as well. Ephesians 5 is one of those sections of Scripture that is often misunderstood, abused, misused. Some people would like to take a scissors and cut it right out of the Bible because they don't like it. But I would submit to you today, and all of us gathered here, that this section of God's Word, properly understood, is the most beautiful picture of a Christ-filled marriage in all of Scripture. In our Genesis reading, we heard that God instituted marriage. He instituted it before sin came into the world. It's a good and God-pleasing thing. In our Matthew reading, we heard that God wants married people to stay married. So, what kind of a God would we have if He brings people together, wants you to stay together, if He didn't tell you how to live inside this holy estate of marriage? That's what Ephesians 5 is. You don't have to do it if you don't want to. You can do whatever you want to. But if you want this marriage to be the best that it can be, and this is not just for Connor and Mariah, if you want your marriage to be the best that it can be, God's word for you today is an Ephesians 5 marriage. Ephesians 5 starts out, "Be imitators of God as dearly loved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." So many people want to have 1 Corinthians 13 read at their wedding. Love is patient, love is kind. You know, we have it embroidered and on pictures and hanging in our bedrooms and living rooms and kitchens. It's a wonderful thing. But it's all law. Be patient. Be kind. Don't hold any grudges. Don't ever do anything wrong. And then everything will be happy. Problem is, we can't do it. No matter how hard we try, our love for each other has to be a mirror of the perfect love that is Jesus Christ. Jesus, who is love. Jesus, who not only demonstrated what love is by taking on flesh and blood, bleeding and dying on Calvary's cross, rising from the dead to give us forgiveness, life, and salvation. But He is the source of love for you. We love because He first loved us. And because He has bled and died and risen for you. Because you are baptized into Good Friday and Easter. Because you live and love the forgiveness of sins, you want to love one another as Christ has loved you. Especially your new husband and your new wife. So, how do you do it? Okay, buckle up. Right off the bat, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wow, pastor said the S word in church. It was about 7 or 8 years ago. I was standing in line getting food. Imagine that. I was standing in line getting food at a wedding reception. And about 3 people behind me, I could hear somebody say, "I can't believe the pastor read that Ephesians 5 at the wedding ceremony. I can't believe that's still in the Bible." And then I turned around. And the guy said, "Can I buy you a beer?" Yes, it is still in the Bible. And it is a good and God-pleasing thing. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Here's what this means. Marriage is not a 50-50 proposition. That's not how God does math. God does not do fractions. Okay? God loves you 100%. And He expects you to love and submit to each other. Not 50-50, not 51-49, but 100-100. Connor, submit to Mariah. Not because she'll make you sleep on the couch, but because you love Jesus. Mariah, submit to Connor. Not because he won't bring home the bacon, but because you love Jesus. You are so busy loving and sacrificing and submitting to each other that you don't have time to be selfish. You don't have time to be a jerk. And that's what comes natural to all sinful human beings. Now the details. Starts out with the wives. Wives, submit to your husband as to the Lord. You know, I've gotten to know Connor pretty well over the last few years. And he's a great guy. Hard worker. But I can tell you one thing. He's not the Lord. How in the world can God ask you to submit to someone, a male someone, this male someone, as if he is the Lord God Himself? God must be joking, right? He's not. He's not. And the key is in what God asks, requires, and demands of Connor. Connor, these words are serious. And these words are not only for you, but they're for every man here who wants to be a God-pleasing husband or aspires to be one day. I know you're ready. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. How did Christ love the church? He died. He died for the church. He died for you. He died for the world. Connor, God says, be willing to die for your wife. Be willing to lay down your life for your wife. That's not only talking about physically being able to jump out in front of traffic to save her. But there will be some times when to love your wife will just kill you on the inside. Because you have to put away your selfishness, your desires, your passions. And it will hurt. It will kill you. And when you do that, you know you are following Ephesians 5. Mariah, if He can love you 1/100th of the way God calls Him to love you, to be willing to die for you, this submission thing, it'll be fun. It'll be a joy. Because it will be in joyous response to the sacrificial love of your husband. That's Ephesians 5. It's really pretty simple. But it's not easy. It's not easy to submit. It's not easy to sacrifice yourself and your personal idols. And so that's why we are brought back to the very beginning of the chapter. The love that Christ has for you. For every time your love fails, for every time your submission and your sacrificial love fall short of God's ideal, Christ has bled and died. Forgiveness, life, and salvation is yours. That's why we need to be in God's house on a regular basis, to hear it and to get our love fed and charged so that our love for each other can deepen and grow through every joy and sorrow shared. You guys have been a model of that. Being in God's house, hearing God's Word, receiving God's gifts. You're moving far away. Keep it up. Keep it up. And the blessings that God has for you will be beyond measure. last words. In our Sunday morning Bible study, we've been studying the book of Ecclesiastes, written by the wisest human being that has ever lived, King Solomon. King Solomon wrote a psalm, Psalm 127. The wisest human being, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, penned these words, "Unless the Lord builds the house, the laborers build in vain." Connor, Mariah, I know of no more hard-working people than you two. Build your house. Build your home. Build your family. Build your sacrificial love on that solid foundation, which is Jesus Christ for you. And may God bless you with an Ephesians 5 marriage. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts, our minds, our lives, our love in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Amen. When two people pledge their love and promises and commitment to each other, their first promises are not to each other. They are to God, the declaration of intent. Connor, will you have this woman to be your wedded wife, to live together in the holy estate of matrimony as God ordained it? Will you nourish and cherish her as Christ loved His body, the church, giving Himself up for her? Will you love, honor, and keep her in sickness and in health, and forsaking all others, remain united to her alone so long as you both shall live? If so, then say, I will. Mariah, will you have this man to be your wedded husband, to live together in the holy estate of matrimony as God ordained it? Will you submit to him as the church submits to Christ? Will you love, honor, and keep him in sickness and in health, and forsaking all others, remain united to him alone so long as you both shall live? If so, then say, I will. Turn and face each other. Hold hands. There you go. Kodak moment. Connor, repeat after me. I, Connor.
I, Connor.
Take you, Mariah.
Take you, Mariah.
To be my wedded wife.
To be my wedded wife.
To have and to hold.
To have and to hold.
From this day forward.
From this day forward.
For better, for worse.
For better, for worse.
For richer, for poorer.
For richer, for poorer.
In sickness and in health.
In sickness and in health.
To love and to cherish.
To love and to cherish.
Till death us do part.
Till death us do part.
According to God's holy will.
According to God's holy will.
And I pledge you my faithfulness.
And I pledge you my faithfulness.
I, Mariah.
I, Mariah.
Take you, Connor.
Take you, Connor.
To be my wedded husband.
To be my wedded husband.
To have and to hold.
To have and to hold.
From this day forward.
From this day forward.
For better, for worse.
For better, for worse.
For richer, for poorer.
For richer, for poorer.
In sickness and in health.
In sickness and in health.
To love and to cherish.
To love and to cherish.
Until death us do part.
Until death us do part.
According to God's holy will.
According to God's holy will.
And I pledge you my faithfulness.
And I pledge you my faithfulness.
Good job. You're still not married. You're on, man. Good job. There is certainly nothing in Scripture with regard to our custom of exchanging wedding rings, but it's a good custom. It reminds us that we belong to someone else when we are married. And a wedding ring is a perfect circle, without beginning and without end. Reminds us of God's love for us, which is without beginning and without end. Good call. These rings today, shiny, perfect, sparkling. They're not going to stay this way. They're going to get dirty. They're going to get scratched. And this reminds us that we live in a sin-filled world. But through it all, God's perfect love for us in Christ Jesus covers all our sin. Almighty Father, You have generously created all things to serve us for our good. Send Your blessing upon this couple who shall wear these rings as a constant reminder of their marital fidelity. Grant that by Your mercy they may live gladly and faithfully in this holy estate. Through Jesus Christ, Your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with You and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Connor, as you place the ring on Mariah's finger, repeat after me. Receive this ring.
Receive this ring.
As a pledge and token.
As a pledge and token.
Of wedded love and faithfulness.
Of wedded love and faithfulness.
In the name of the Father.
In the name of the Father.
And of the Son.
And of the Son.
And of the Holy Spirit.
And of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen. Mariah, repeat after me. Receive this ring.
Receive this ring.
As a pledge and token.
As a pledge and token.
Of wedded love and faithfulness.
Of wedded love and faithfulness.
In the name of the Father.
In the name of the Father.
And of the Son.
And of the Son.
And of the Holy Spirit.
And of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
I want to get married. This is it right here. Okay. Now that Connor and Mariah have committed themselves to each other in holy matrimony, have given themselves to each other by their solemn pledges, and have declared the same before God and these witnesses, I pronounce them to be husband and wife in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
What God has joined together, let no one rip asunder. Amen. The Almighty and gracious God abundantly grant you His favor and sanctify you and bless you with the blessing given to Adam and Eve in paradise, that you may please Him in both body and soul and live together in holy love until your life's end. Amen. By the power of God's Word, two have become one. And in the same way that Christ reconciles us into Himself by the cross, we now have a visual of how two become one by the miracle of God's marriage.
To join into
God takes things that really don't exist, and by the power of His Word, He brings them into existence. Connor, you will always be Connor, and that's a good thing. Mariah, you will always be Mariah, and that's a very good thing. Today, by the power of God's Word, two become one. Connor and Mariah. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Almighty everlasting God, our Heavenly Father, grant that by Your blessing, Connor and Mariah may live together according to Your Word and promise. Strengthen them in faithfulness and love toward each other. Sustain and defend them in every trial and temptation. Help them to live in faith towards You, in the communion of Your Holy Church, and in loving service to each other, that they may ever enjoy Your heavenly blessing. O God, our dwelling place in all generations, look with favor upon the homes of our land. Embrace husbands and wives, parents and children, in the arms of Your love, and grant that each, in reverence for Christ, fulfill the duties You have given. Bless our homes, that they may ever be a shelter for the defenseless, a fortress for the tempted, a resting place for the weary, and a foretaste of our eternal home with You. Through Jesus Christ, Your Son, our Lord, who has taught us to pray together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Connor and Mariah, as you leave here today, you go with each other to become one. You go with the well wishes of family and friends, those who are here and even those who couldn't be here today. But most of all, you go with the promise and blessing of the one true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Hear once again that promise, which will never fail, in the words of the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. Amen. I'd like you to turn and face the folks who are here. And it is my privilege and my pleasure to be the first to officially introduce Mr. and Mrs. Connor Niemeyer. You may kiss the bride. Is 922 in our hymnal. We invite you to sing along. 922.
Yeah.